Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live every day to address your questions by phone with the Basic Gospel. 1-800-677-9377. That's the number to call. The lines are wide open right now, and we await hearing from you. If there's a question or something you'd like to talk about, this is the time to call. 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's basic gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Basic gospel is simply this: Jesus Christ is alive and he loves you. It's a truth many of us learned as kids. We sang the song, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And then we grew up and we started questioning and wondering. And the reason we did is because we got into all sorts of trouble.
Yeah.
Temptations of the world entered in, and boy, they looked good to us. And we just gave right into them. And boy, we started to question, man, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. How could God love me? And then at some point later on in life, we get reconnected to that simple, basic, powerful, life-changing truth that Jesus Christ loves us. Well, what was he doing in the meantime? You know, and one of the things that we see in the Word of God is this idea of patience. God was being patient with us. He was actively suffering long on our behalf. That's what the word patience is all about, and it's really a verb, and it's the first quality or characteristic that Paul addresses in his definition of love. Love is patient. Boy, we need a lot of patience, don't we? We need God to be patient with us. Otherwise, he would just snuff us out. If he wasn't going to be patient with us, he would just do us in, and we would go to our eternal destiny. Of death, of eternal separation from him. But God is patient. Why? Because that's an aspect, a quality of his love. And that love, that patience, means salvation for us. That's what Peter said. And certainly Paul experienced it. I mean, Paul was a persecutor of the church. He blasphemed the name of God. He didn't mean to. He was doing it out of ignorance, but yet he was still doing that. And God was patient with them and with him. And at a point in time, that patience took root in Paul's life, and he became a new believer. He became a new creature in Christ. And I love what he wrote in 1 Timothy. This is a trustworthy saying. Everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. We've all done bad stuff. We've done some really bad stuff. We've been rebellious toward God. We've rejected God. We've gone our own way. But God never gave up on us. God was always patient with us. And at a point in time, that patience was realized in salvation, our salvation, the day that we came to Christ and were made new in him. It's incredible, this love that we have in Christ.
Yeah. This is Basic Gospel, and we would love for you to be a part of the broadcast. 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open, plenty of time on the clock, so we can fully discuss your particular situation or your question. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Wilmington, North Carolina, and talk to Matthew, listening to us on WMYT. Hi, Matthew.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you today.
Yes, sir. I was just calling. I had a quick question. I've actually recently started going to a church, and it's a Reformed church. And I've been going to this church for about a month now, and it's a very small church. There's not very many members there. And I guess my question is, their theology is basically on, from what I gather, it's Martin Luther and Charles Spurgeon, Westminster's Confessions of Faith. It kind of sounds like to me, the longer that I've been in the church, kind of more of Calvinism. And it's basically where the teachings that they're doing there is teaching that, you know, some of us are destined to go to hell regardless, and some of us are to be saved. And I was just kind of wondering if you could clear that up for me, because I'm a little confused.
Well, Matthew, that's a good question, and I think you're probably spot on as far as the theology there, that it is Calvinism. Calvinism is based upon, you know, Calvin's teachings, and I think theologians have gone back and extracted information from his teachings, and they've come up with this theology, and it's based around five things. It's the acrostic is TULIP, the fact that we're totally depraved. I forget what the second one is.
Stands for.
That's right. I think it's unlimited something. unconditional grace. There is limited atonement. So Christ's death on the cross is just limited to those whom he's chosen for salvation, irresistible grace, and then perseverance of the saints. So that's kind of the theological basis for their belief system. It's tied to that Westminster Catechism. A lot of it is very good stuff. I mean, they focus upon the grace of God, that God has chosen to save us in Christ Jesus and make us alive together with Christ. So they're very strong on the grace of God. But I think they're, you know, I don't necessarily agree with all of the 5 points. I think most of us probably agree with at least 4 of them. We probably would kind of disagree with the limited atonement. I think the Word of God says that Christ died for the sins of the entire world, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that salvation...
That's what I didn't understand. I didn't understand that, you know. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so that's... I think that is kind of the linchpin in their belief system. I think that's where folks would kind of stray away from what they're teaching.
It seems like it's a lot of good stuff, but there's not really, they give a lot of emphasis. They put a lot of emphasis on God, but it seems like they take the work of the cross kind of away. And it's just from what they're teaching. It took me a month to figure this out. It all sounded good, but it from what I understand, it's not biblical. Where they're getting their information from is not biblical. You know, and I'm not really understanding Charles Spurgeon and Martin Luther. I know that there was
Here's the deal, Matthew. When you read Ephesians chapter 2, you're going to see some, you know, pretty stark revelation about who we are. Paul starts that chapter out, the fact that we are dead in transgressions and sins. We're spiritually dead. So so we need life, and Jesus Christ gave us that life through his resurrection. He made us alive, and then it goes on to say that we've been saved by grace through faith. So we recognize that the work of salvation is totally God's, that we really don't enter into that picture. We simply receive the free gift of salvation. And that's what faith is. It's that receiving the free gift. It's not a work. It's not something that we do. So we're saved by grace. And so we all have to agree upon that. Otherwise, we're not going to be saved. If I think you know, anything I do is a part of that salvation equation, then I've taken away from the work of Jesus Christ. So I think Amen. We need to stand very strong on the fact that we're saved by grace through faith, that Jesus Christ is the one who makes us alive. We have no part in that whatsoever, only to receive it. And I think that's where we need to leave it. But I think that's where Calvinism kind of, they take another step, and they try to say, okay, this is what this exactly means, and they bring a lot of human reason and logic into the equation. So I think we just stick with what the Word of God has to say. I don't think anybody argues the fact that Christ has saved us, and that it's his work and his work alone. Christ alone, through faith alone, period. That's the way salvation comes into being. Now, the other side of that equation, Matthew, is this. When you really look at the scripture and look at the passages where predestination, election, God's choosing are talked about, it's always in terms of Jew and Gentile. It's never in terms of individuals. So God predestined that the Jew would be saved through faith in Jesus Christ, and God also predestined that the Gentile would be saved in exactly the same way, through faith in Jesus Christ, by grace, through faith. And if we see it in that context, then the idea of predestination becomes a very unifying truth. It's something that brings us together as one body in Christ. But if we look at it in terms of individuals, boy, it just brings up all types of problems. I've never engaged in a conversation about predestination that didn't end up in some type of fight, where people are just getting mad at each other and saying, hey, you're not even saved if you believe that, and you can't be saved if you believe that, and it divides instead of unifies. Well, that's not God. God is a God of unity, and he brings us together in Christ, both Jew and Gentile alike. And it's in Christ that bitter enemies can become one and actually learn to love one another. And God has predestined that to be true.
Amen. Well, that helps me out a lot, and I really appreciate it. Didn't mean to put you on the spot there, but I appreciate you taking my phone call.
You're more than welcome, Matthew. It's a great question. It's a question that we need to ask, that we need to talk about, so that we can really come to grips with what this salvation, what this gospel message is truly all about. So thank you for bringing it to the program today.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Let me put you on hold. I'm going to send you a copy of a book called Love Is, and I think it will be a help to you in relation to this question you've asked, okay?
Thank you very much.
You hang on, Matthew.
Bob, I want to let our listeners know that Love Is and all of the materials that you'll find on the store at basicgospel.net are marked down 30% between now and December 8th. Great, great opportunity to pick up some of these and bless others during this Christmas season. Now through December 8th, you'll receive a 30% discount on all products. To view them, simply go to store.basicgospel.net. That's store.basicgospel.net to take advantage of this huge discount on all of our products just in time for Christmas giving. So take advantage of that, and I think everybody will be blessed.
Well, I hope many people will take advantage of that. Great, great Christmas gifts.
Yes, indeed.
For people you love and cherish.
Indeed.
Well, let's go to Bloomington, Indiana, and talk with Frank. Hi, Frank.
Hi, sir. I wanted to ask you this question. I know it's in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 19. Apostle Paul said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Now, is this in our modern day language way of putting it, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior since you believed? Is that the way of putting that? The gift of the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts was receiving Christ into your life.
That's exactly right. I mean, Christ has come to live inside of us through the Holy Spirit. So Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. He was given the Holy Spirit, and he poured it out upon man. And when we believe in Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. Now, these particular disciples in Ephesus, they had never even heard of the Holy Spirit. That was a foreign idea.
Had they heard of Jesus Christ?
Well, all they heard was the baptism of John, the baptism of repentance. Repent for the remission of your sins, for the kingdom of God is near. John the Baptist was preparing the way for Jesus Christ. So they may not have even heard of Jesus specifically, other than the fact that he was coming. Yeah. The Messiah was coming.
Sir, could I ask you this?
Certainly.
Immediately Paul said, how were you baptized? And they said, under John's baptism, and he told them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm not, does that have anything to do with it?
Water baptism has nothing to do with salvation.
Well, I don't mean salvation. I mean receiving Christ. Well, receiving Christ into your life
would be
salvation.
Yeah, water baptism has nothing to do with that. I think water baptism for us as believers, Frank, is more of a celebration of what Christ has done in our lives.
So yeah, more or less, I identify as the individual with Christians.
Yes, you could say that, but it's an outward show of what God's already done in us in Christ Jesus.
So nowadays, instead of saying, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" we say, "Have you received Jesus Christ into your heart since you believed?" Because I met a man that was drunk one time, and I said, "Sir, do you believe in Jesus?" He said, "Why, sure." He said, "I may be drunk, but I'm not crazy. Everybody believes in Jesus." But, you know, I said, "Well, have you received him into your life?" I haven't made that commitment yet. So you can believe in Jesus and still not be saved.
Yeah, and belief in that sense would simply be, testifying to the facts. You know, I have a mental assent to the facts. I believe Jesus was a historical character. I believed he lived. I believed he died. I believed he was raised from the grave. I believe all that, but I haven't put faith in that. I haven't responded to that in faith. I haven't received him into my life. I mean, James wrote the demons believe. Yeah. I mean, they know Jesus is who he claims to be.
Oh, sure,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So I think you're making a good distinction between...
Satan said that in the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, and he said, "If you're a son of God," he knew very well who Jesus was.
You're exactly right.
And that was very insulting to say, use that word, "if." But Jesus, in his weakness, defeated Satan. And Satan came to Jesus in his weakest physical moment. And I believe that the wilderness is a type of a spiritual type, where all the angels of God and the angels of Satan and even the souls in paradise were witnessing that great battle that took place there. Well, God bless you. Thanks for helping me out. And
you're welcome, Frank.
I'm listening to you from WBRI, wonderful Bible radio from Indiana and from Indianapolis. It's been on for 50 years, and
it's a wonderful statement, and we're just really pleased to be a part of their daily programming lineup. And Frank, we appreciate you being a part of our listenership as well. Thanks for letting us be a part of your life.
Okay, God bless you. I'm still listening to you. I got the radio on.
Okay, Frank. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you.
All right,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Yonkers, New York, and talk to Don. Hi, Don.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
Well, good
to hear you, your brothers on Christian radio. I was listening to a lady in your last segment, and she was saying how she felt she didn't feel a closeness to God because she wasn't able to go to church. I wanted to encourage her, as you did, that the Holy Spirit, a personal relationship with Jesus, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit will enable her to achieve that closeness. So many of us think that we should, you know, prepare ourselves for Sunday service, and then Monday through Saturday, we drift away from the importance of the most precious document that we have in our possession, which is the Word of God. There's so much authority, there's so much power, there's so much to learn and to receive through our tutor, the Holy Spirit. And you will, and I encourage all Christians to empower themselves to stand up straight, to tell the truth, to go forward. and to spread the best news that there ever could possibly be, which is the gospel.
Absolutely. Well, Don, thanks for your call, and thanks for your encouragement to, I believe it was Stephanie that called in from New York. We put so much pressure on ourselves. We certainly want to be God's guy or God's gal, and you know, we come up with all these rules and regulations of how we're going to achieve that. And a lot of that has to do, you know, well, I need to be in church. I need to pray every day. I need to read my Bible every day. And we make those a law instead of a privilege. We've been added to Christ. Christ has come to live inside of us. It's a sheer joy to pick up the Bible and read about his love for us. And that's what this book is all about. It's a sheer joy to fellowship with other believers and to hear their experiences and their journeys. Boy, it just penetrates the heart and makes you have hope that you know, God's love is there. God's love is constant, and He will never leave us. And I see that when I'm fellowshipping with others. So, you know, these things aren't laws for us. They're privileges. They're opportunities for us to participate in, to share in His wonderful life and love. Well, Don, thanks for your great call today. We appreciate it.
God bless you.
You too. Well, let's go down to Houston and talk with Ronald, listening to us on KCTA. Hi, Ronald.
Yes, how you doing?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you today. How can we help?
Thank you. I want to start explaining Romans 6:1 for me, please.
Well, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And that's a question that Paul anticipated that people would ask in light of the great news that he had just shared in Romans chapter 5. The law was added so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So there's going to be somebody out there in the audience saying, wow, if grace increases when sin increases, man, let me just go out and sin.
I know how to do that.
Yeah, and so Paul is saying that's not the message. That's not what I'm saying at all. But in anticipation of that question, I'm going to go ahead and ask it. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And he answers, by no means. And here's the reason. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Something has happened to us. We were bound up to sin and to death. We were under the control of sin. We were mastered by sin. And then through the power of the gospel, that was broken. That relationship to sin and death was broken. Now we've been raised to walk in the newness of life, which is being led by the Spirit of God and expressed in faith. That's what this passage is saying. Don't you know that all of this has taken place, that you have been raised to walk in a new life through faith in Jesus Christ? Well, Ronald, we're out of time. Hope that helps. Great question. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, Love Is. Would love to put it in your hands. You hang on, Ronald.
A reminder also that now through December 8th, you'll save 30% on all of our products. That's right, all products in our store are marked down 30% through December 8th. To view them all, visit store.basicgospel.net. That's store.basicgospel.net to take advantage of this huge discount on all of our products, just in time for Christmas giving. That's 30% off between now and December 8th. Use promo code THANKS when you visit store.basicgospel.net. Remember also that we are listener-supported, Basic Gospel is, and we need your support at this particular time. While you're shopping, if you can, make a generous gift to help keep the Basic Gospel coming, the good news coming. There's a prominent support link right there on our homepage at basicgospel.net. While you're online also, join our email list. Click subscribe when you visit basicgospel.net. You'll get late news and information about the ministry and upcoming events. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.